Good afternoon. Today is Friday, May the 9th, 132nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, the new kid in town. Yeah, Eureka's city manager, and it's not even an interim city manager.
No, that's
Greg
not.
Sparks. I was thinking, probably nobody cares, but I have shower thoughts. That's where I do my thinking is in the morning. And just start going back how many city managers we've had on the show for the 34 years we've been doing this thing. And I start going back and I'm like, okay. And one name kept popping up. It was Harpum.
Is that right?
Over and over. Interim city manager, Merle Harpum, interim city. So now with Mike not being the interim, and then we got the real guy, the sheriff is in town. We'll find out where he's from, what he's packing, and what he's looking for when we come back.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 312. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Greg Sparks. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. This is another part of the program here, the quote. And you get the choice of who is our source. So I'll say, do you prefer Saul Bellow? Or would you prefer Mother Teresa?
We'll
find out what kind of Midwest guy you really are.
I'm going to go with Mother Teresa.
I thought you would. Our quote this afternoon from Mother Teresa. People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway.
I think I've run into that before.
Oh, this is not your first rodeo, Kimasabi. So if somebody says, who in the world is Greg Sparks? What does your bride tell him?
Boy, and my wife would be the one who knows more about me than anybody. We grew up in the same hometown of Newton, Iowa, home city of 16,000 in central Iowa. So she's known me since we were 10 years old, and we've been married since we were 20. But she would tell you, that I'm a very easy to get along with kind of person. That I'm usually reasonable, unless I'm in an argument with her, possibly.
Yeah.
But I think at times I feel like she's my biggest fan as a city manager, because sometimes you don't have that many fans in the community and over certain issues that maybe come up from time to time. But she's. She's been with me through all this over the years and working in different cities and dealing with tough issues at times. And certainly have always appreciated her support. So
now you'll notice I didn't ask what class you guys were in graduating high school.
Uh-huh.
However, you still appear to be a young, spry enough young guy. Now, this could be my eyesight failing also, so great assault on this one. You want to stay here?
Do I want to stay here?
You want to stay here. I mean, you guys have been, I know you've been in the market a little bit.
Yeah.
Seen what's going on. Some of the reality is now starting to set in with some of the challenges that Chief Andy is dealing with, that he's had to deal with over the last little bit since he's been here. You are now, I wouldn't say you're one of us, but you're getting there.
Boy, if I could become one of you in 7 days, that would be pretty good.
That's multi-generational, Greg. You got to give it a little time, dude. is this a comfortable place for you?
You know, it Yeah, 7 days on the job, I've certainly have gotten a little bit of perspective, but not too much long-term perspective yet. My wife's still back in Iowa selling the house, so I'm here.
You're batching it.
I'm kind of batching it, camped out in my house with suits and camping gear. Basically, is kind of what I brought with me, but I'm done resume building. I'm kind of that. I see this as certainly my last professional stop as a city manager, and I think there's some unique challenges here that are very interesting to me, and I'm looking forward to just digging in and working with people and see what we can do to help make Eureka a better place to live. So that.
Now, you said unique challenges, and of course we have to jump into that one.
Oh, yeah. that must be city manager speak for something.
It's like, shoot me now. What is... A lot of us are accustomed to hearing certain things about Eureka, the North Coast, hometown.
Mm-hmm.
People are so friendly here. People are so giving here. Behind the Redwood Curtain here.
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking for from the residents in Eureka and the, well, let's just say Humboldt County? But Eureka specifically, what are you looking for from us?
Boy, and I probably have never had anyone quite ask me that question because there's probably, and I want to get around, I'll get to that. I'm not going to evade that question. But the first thing I look for is, you know, from the city council who employs me, is this a council that I believe I can work with, who's going to be supportive of me? And I certainly believe that when I accepted the position. Some city managers accept positions on 3-2 votes. I didn't have to do that. And so I felt the council support was strong. It was going to be there. You know, I came in early ahead of the interview process, you know, here back in late February, and had a chance to meet with a number of the department directors.
We heard that.
Okay. Had a chance to meet with, Don Smullen at the chamber and over at the Coastal Commission. And I just had a sense that there was a positive team here to work with within that management team. And so that was – and I felt I had that in my previous job. So I definitely didn't – I didn't want to lose that. And I can say after being here a few days, I still feel very strongly about that. You know, from a community standpoint, I've always thought more in terms of, you know, what do I need to do for the community? I think people pay a lot in taxes, whether it's sales tax or property tax or city fees. And I think it's just incumbent upon us as municipal government to be a strong customer service oriented operation, and not all governments are that way, or not all governments are perceived that way. I really want to make sure that we are kind of ratcheting up our service level and really being a model community from that standpoint. And I've had a chance to work in some communities that had very high service level, so I feel like I know what that looks like.
Have you been in those who had really poor? To know what that looks like also?
You know, I would say I have. My first job, it wasn't that it was a poor service level, but, you know, my first real city manager job was in a city at 2000 in western Kansas. We had 15 employees, including me, and we were a full-service city. You know, water, sewer, little golf, not golf course, but airport, parks, everything. I would have to say, and luckily I don't, he's probably not around, I probably had the worst police chief, not only in the state of Kansas, but in the entire United
States.
We'll
pursue that one. It's 319.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW 3 times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time is 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Greg Sparks. He is Eureka City Manager. Feel comfortable yet saying Eureka City Manager?
You know, most of the time you get introduced for about the first 4 or 5 months as the new city manager. So you just kind of think that new is a part of your title. So you actually didn't call me new.
No, you get that one time here.
Okay.
Yeah, and now you're the old, and pretty soon you're going to be antiquated. It happens very quickly with me.
Well, I was joking with a little bit of our staff. I don't know, I think it was yesterday, the days have been flying by, that I feel like in the first week, I've just had a lot of things just kind of dropped on me. I got right into the middle of the budget process. So meeting with departments on proposed budgets, you know, meeting with council members, starting to learn, you know, what their priorities are.
Names.
Not going to go there.
May as well know their names, too.
And then trying to start getting out in the community a little more. I kind of feel like the first week and a half, I've almost been just kind of stuck in the office a little more than I'd like to be, but I'm getting out next week to the community meetings that the police department is hosting. They've got two next week, one the following week, I believe it is. And got out to the homeless committee meeting earlier this week over at the county. So starting to get in, and went to the Harbor District meeting last night. So trying to get out, meet a few more people.
It's a good thing your wife isn't here.
Yeah,
she'd be bored to tears, all these meetings.
It really is kind of good timing to come out ahead of her and do a lot of that kind of thing before she's here. That's true.
Greg, you mentioned unique challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of us, we look around town and go, okay, challenges, yeah. We remember what it was like in the 80s, 70s, 60s. Okay, trying to get back to where we were.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've heard it over and over from many, many already, even in 7 to 10 days. Of the challenges that you recognize, which do you see as the low-hanging fruit that can be addressed early on so you get a couple victories under your belt?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's necessarily some of the easy ones, but economic development has, I mean, you can't get very far without that being a top priority. And every city loves to hit a home run, bring in that operation that employs 500 people with great wages. I mean, that.
You haven't looked around, have you?
But
I'd like to hit one home run in our life.
But, you know, but the reality is that, you know, you got a strong, got a strong retail base in the community, but timber industry obviously isn't what it had at its peak. You can point to a number of other things that aren't what they had been, whether it's 10 years ago, 20 years, 30 years ago. So it seems like you really need to have some focus on some entrepreneurial type job growth and development. And whether that's both in kind of aquaculture, but I think an incubator concept, I think, can have some success here in Eureka, where the city can play a role working with business and helping startup businesses get started, maybe potentially where you have some shared space and help bring those costs down to get businesses started.
Well, similar to what Arcata has.
I understand Arcata's done that. When I was in Minnesota, I was on an incubator committee for about 10 years, and we built a 40,000 square foot manufacturing incubator facility. And, you know, and sometimes, again, there's some swings and misses in a facility like that. But one of the swings and hits that I always thought was a nice one, I've given this example to other people, is a company called Foamcraft. This started off as a guy cutting and gluing some foam in his garage for a local industry for foam packaging. He ended up taking up all of his garage space, and I think once the foam started getting into his bathroom, his wife said, "You need to find another place to do this." Moved into our incubator, employed him, his wife, one other person. Within a couple years' time, he was up to about 6-7 employees, and eventually within about 4 years, maybe 5 years, he built his own 40,000-square-foot building, had 15 employees, and was no longer just doing foam packaging for one company. He had branched out and had a marketing person, and really kind of grew a nice little business. And I think the more you can get these 10, 15, employee type companies and see some expansion with them, I wouldn't say it's low hanging fruit, but I think they're doable.
More than the boutiques, the onesies, twosies that we tend to have.
Well, sometimes you start off with a onesie twosie that has some potential for growth. I mean, sometimes they're the little tech software company, development company, and
so how much of your time are you going to have available to do that kind of stuff, or are you looking to somebody on staff and that kind of allocating or assigning that area of responsibility to see if they can kind of stir it up a little bit or make some of the permitting possible?
You know, certainly right now I think it's 10 direct reports, so I am spread a bit thin, but I need to kind of figure out how to best use my time. But I certainly, and I think the council expects that I devote some sufficient time to economic development. Mike Knight's working over in economic development, and Mike has a great public works background, understands kind of special projects and working with that with the staff there. And so I'll be looking to work with the staff we have in place.
KINS News and Information Times 3:30. We'll be back with more from Greg Sparks.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks. Why Eureka? What was it that attracted you here? This is the Chamber of Commerce moment, I'm sure, but California is not a real friendly place for governments to be in because of some of the shenanigans the state does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You mentioned the Coastal Commission already. Yeah, okay. We just got a slide on that one. Land use issues, CEQA, all these various things that are out there that California's kind of been on the bloody edge of that is now kind of going through the rest of the country. What was it about Eureka that said, this one we want?
You know, for me, there's never any simple answer as to what attracts me to a certain job. I don't feel like I've ever, over the years, I think I probably always thought I'm going to stay here as long as the work is interesting. I never thought of it in terms of, well, what's next exactly. I mean, it was, you went to work for two cities in Minnesota over 19 years, and one of them is in for almost 12 years. And my son graduated from high school in Owatonna, Minnesota, and it's a great community.
Just for those who don't know Minnesota, say that again.
Owatonna, Minnesota. Minnesota.
Minnesota, yeah, okay.
And about an hour south of the Twin Cities. And, Minnesota, or Owatonna probably in particular, was kind of that quintessential American community. It actually still has a strong manufacturing base, has a strong finance insurance employment in the community as well. So really a pretty nice mix of employment. Great place for our son to go through K-12 education. Then our son went off to college in California.
Uh-oh.
And after about a year or so, we decided, there wasn't really anything holding us to Minnesota anymore. And actually then from there, I went and became a manager in a resort community in Colorado. And I had worked in Colorado prior to Minnesota. And I've always kind of looked for that combination of does the job look good, as well as the lifestyle piece that goes with it, and whether or not it made sense from a family standpoint. I think the one of the reasons we left Colorado in the first place when our son was young, particularly we were there in southern Colorado, we weren't impressed with the education system. And you look at Minnesota, typically graduates more their seniors than any other state in the country, highest ACT test scores of any state in the country, typically year after year. And that's relatively true of some of the other Midwestern states as well, Iowa and the Dakotas, Nebraska. And so, I've spent a career working in Minnesota, Colorado, Iowa to a degree where I grew up. But as I was looking for that next opportunity, and our son and his wife were back in California after he was living in Pennsylvania before coming back to California, we just really decided, you know, I know California is not necessarily a government business friendly kind of state. It doesn't have, obviously, a lot of national rankings. It's 50th. There's some others that aren't so well, do so well either. But started looking at a few cities in California, and Eureka came up early on in my process of looking. And it just so happened that the recruitment firm, Peckham and McKinney, and Phil McKinney, who was doing the recruitment, Phil was the recruiter when I was hired in Mountain Village, Colorado. And so I knew Phil pretty well. I talked to Phil on the phone about Eureka, you know, what are the positives, what are the negatives. And quite frankly, Phil thought I'd be a good match for Eureka. And I believe he's right. I remember seeing early on Mayor Yeager referred to me as a low-key guy who gets things done. Well, I hope that's my reputation. Hopefully it's not as someone who doesn't get things done, because I'm in this business to hopefully help make communities better and work with people. That's
interesting you mentioned Frank, because I think he probably hits the same profile.
I would say that's accurate.
Yes. Just, you know, for an old guy.
I did not say that, Frank.
No. I'm sure he recognizes my voice. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:41. We'll be back with more from Greg Sparks.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45, final segment of the week. We've got Greg Sparks alongside this afternoon. Greg, as you look at the job, and, you know, it's certainly not fair. I mean, 10 days, I do understand why you sent Ken in instead of coming in yourself on the second day on the job. I won't forgive you, but I do understand that.
I think the internal staff thought that would be a great idea.
Uh-huh.
Give me a little bit of an extra week.
Get ready for this big thing, huh?
That's right. I've been getting ready for this all week.
I can tell the old sweaty palm syndrome was there. What do you have on your list? Budget's passed and it's grand. Okay, fine. So you got that. You're here for a couple of months, so you don't get lost going to the grocery store and things like that. Okay, fine. What are you seeing as the things that you want to start delving into, getting involved with? You know, the economic development, that's great, but it's not, you know, you're not going to lift that one yourself. You can't.
Right, right.
And the city can't do it on its own. I mean, there's a whole multitude of things that have to occur, but mm-hmm. What are you seeing as the things that you can kind of get engaged with without significantly redefining the job and not having those unrealistic expectations?
Yeah, and you're right. It could be easy to maybe get too wrapped up in maybe some unrealistic expectations in some areas. Early on, what I want to get involved with, though, is one of the things the city council was looking for was someone who had a strong operations background. And I think one of the best ways to to improve an organization is you really have to really kind of strengthen that culture of being a continuously improving organization. And that doesn't happen just because you bring in a new city manager, as much as I might want to believe that at times. It really gets down to how we foster that with our employees. And I really want to make sure that on a department-by-department basis, that we're drawing out the best ideas from our employees about how we can improve processes and how we can improve services to the public so that, number one, our employees are being engaged. They're the ones closest to delivering the services. They see areas that where they know we can make improvements. But sometimes, you know, sometimes managers and supervisors, we sometimes think the only good ideas come from us. So you have to kind of always get past that. You know, the other thing is I'd like to have the city be looking into joining the Alliance for Innovation, which is a kind of a constituency of cities and counties around the country who have made a commitment to innovation. Because to me, anytime you start looking at how you improve an organization, you have to marry that concept of innovation with it. Resources are always going to be an issue, whether it's Measure O or the next measure. Finances are always going to be difficult, but the more we can do to, in a sense, drive quality improvement within the organization and make sure that we're both listening to residents, listening to our business community, and making sure our processes don't get in the way of some of these things happening. There's always going to be different impediments to economic development, but I sure don't want the city to be one of those impediments to economic development.
Now, that's what you're bringing in. Are you recognizing that it's not there? Are you recognizing that it is there and you just have to foster it? Do you have a sense yet if it's there or if it's missing?
You know, I don't have a strong enough sense of that yet. I mean, certainly you talk to people, you get different opinions. Until I really can spend a little more time working a little more directly with the employee base on that, I feel like I'm sure I have some ideas, but I really need to hear from them and see where employees are at.
How will you know when you cross that line where you do have that culture of daily improvement?
When employees really get engaged in it, it's easy to see it. If you're going to a meeting and nobody's saying anything, or if what's being said is
grumble.
Well, you know, we've always done it this way, or we tried that once before, but there's always those kind of telltale signs as to how resistant an organization is to change. But I've always found that employees want to do a good job. They're by and large, people aren't here just to draw a paycheck. Sometimes we may get accused of that in government at times, but I think
a passion for the product.
It's, you know, yeah. People want to do a good job. Quite frankly, it makes your job easier each day when if you're doing a good job with customer service and people enjoy what you're doing. So,
well, pay attention for you. How's that?
Okay.
Thanks for coming by, Greg.
Thank you.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Greg Sparks. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.